sixth and final case is Ahmed versus Gonzalez. Mr. Held.
Members of the panel, good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Christopher Held, and I represent the petitioner, Master Usman Ahmed, in this petition for review. In this case, I am taking the somewhat unusual position of arguing on behalf of the immigration judge in this case, who we submit correctly applied the law to the child, made a decision that was not only equitable and humanitarian, but was also well supported by federal statute.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you've ever found any authority for the proposition that an alien can terminate removal proceedings against him by leaving the country.
Well, the government would may be able to provide actual hardcore numbers, but in my experience it happens quite often. If an individual, well, first of all, we start with the premise that an immigration judge really only has jurisdiction over individuals inside the United States, and those individuals
That's
have
not
to be
true. That was changed by the 1996 legislation.
Well, in terms of entering removal orders, an immigration judge can't deport an individual to Pakistan who's the individual's maybe already in Pakistan, or there's proof that the individual is in Pakistan, or an immigration judge can't order a United States citizen removed. The immigration judge lacks jurisdiction over two types of individuals generally, ones that are not on U.S. soil and U.S. citizens.
As I say, that's not true. It was changed by the 1996 legislation.
Well, Judge, I'm unaware of this type of situation where an immigration judge can
We have, in fact, now set aside removal orders entered against people who are outside the United States. And the reverse. The reverse is this case.
Well, Your Honor, no, we would disagree because that's a situation where an individual has already been deported. The Supreme Court has already spoken, regardless of IRA-IRA. In 1964, the Supreme Court, I believe, issued a decision where an individual who has been deported and then departs self-deports himself, and then there would be issues of jurisdiction. But in this case...
Yes, the statute was changed after that decision, but go ahead.
Your Honor, our position here is that the January 13th, 05 decision of the BIA clearly was in violation of the law. It did not discuss whatsoever the fact that the immigration judge waived the young boy's appearance. The BIA failed to discuss...
What difference does that make? He allowed the father to appear in lieu of the son, and then the father didn't appear either.
But the attorney did, and there's specific rules with individuals. The Attorney General has specific guidelines for individuals who are not able to appear in certain proceedings. That issue was never addressed by the board. The board simply said that an immigration judge is like a horse with blinders, and the immigration judge is required to enter removal orders against aliens who don't appear at proceedings. This individual was issued a charging document. His family had appeared at numerous proceedings prior to the final hearing. Prior to the final hearing, a motion to terminate and spread the record was filed, informing all parties that this individual had departed the United States. Once an immigration judge makes a finding that this individual has departed the United States, we would submit that the immigration judge was right in ruling that proceedings could be terminated as one measure. It is within an immigration judge's to do so. The board failed to address that issue. The board failed to address whether the immigration judge provided specific or cogent reasons, for example, in his analysis to make the decision that he did. The board simply said, so let it be written, so let it be done. An immigration judge has no discretion and must enter an order of removal, and that's clearly not the law. A judge not only has equitable or humanitarian discretionary issues to make a just and right decision, but is protected or supported by federal statute, and the regulations do allow an immigration judge to terminate proceedings, and it happens every day. And as I had stated earlier, the government may be able to elaborate more on that, but it does happen on a daily basis, on a regular basis, I should say. aliens who leave the United States often will provide verification of that at their at their consulate, and that verification is provided, for example, to the deportation branch, and then a bond would be returned. So there are situations where individuals leave prior to a final decision being made, leave while in proceedings prior to an order of removal being entered. And in this situation, it is a unique situation with this child being the principal respondent in proceedings. The judge urged, in fact, the government to charge and place the father in removal proceedings, and the government simply ignored that, and that's clearly stated in the record.
The law as I see it, a petition for review under 1252 of the title, the order entered in absentia, kind of limits the jurisdiction of this court. You don't challenge the validity of the notice, the reasons for failure to attend the proceeding, or the issue of removability. So what is it that gives us the jurisdiction to review this this claim?
This court has jurisdiction because this is a final order by the BIA, which we timely filed a challenge to. In fact, this court does have the power and authority to vacate this decision of the BIA to remove this deportation order which has been entered against this child, which would bar this child from entering the United States to receive medical treatment, as he had done so legally and with the permission of the United States government for a number of years, I believe half a decade or slightly less than that, until the final visa was denied.
What was the abuse of discretion by the BIA?
Well, the BIA did not examine, number one, the decision and the fact-finding of the immigration judge. The BIA simply stated that the judge's decision was, quote-unquote, clearly erroneous, that, again, as I stated, that the immigration judge was required by statute to enter an order of removal, and that's simply not the case. The judge has discretion. The judge possibly could have done that, but based on the facts of this case, the judge did what I had stated. He did an equitable humanitarian issue and one that was supported by federal statute. He was not required to issue a removal order against this child. The BIA has spoken volumes about an immigration judge's wide discretion, and clearly this immigration judge had the discretion to do what he did. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Mr. Liggins?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Liggins, and I represent the respondent attorney general in this case. I was not counsel below. In fact, I'm a career prosecutor in the Southern District of Illinois who was blissfully ignorant of immigration law until this case was a series of these cases were assigned throughout the country.
Well, you should not feel oppressed because that responsibility goes all the way up to the Deputy Attorney General of the United States.
I understand
assume, these kinds of cases.
And I'm proud to be arguing here on behalf of the Attorney General. I have two quick points to make.
Before you make your two quick points, could you tell us whether or not we know why only the child was singled out for removal proceedings and not his father, and whether or not that's even relevant to the argument regarding the reason for his failure to appear?
I don't know. That's not apparent from the record, and I don't know the thought process that went into why that occurred. I know I could tell that the immigration judge was perturbed by it, and the response he got from the attorney left something to be desired, I thought, but it is not apparent from the record why that happened. The two quick points I wanted to make was that the counsel argued that the immigration judge waived the petitioner's appearance in this case, and the record belies that assertion. If you look at page 82 and 83 of the record, at the July 9th hearing, in anticipation of the July 30th, what I've called the merits hearing, the judge clearly told the parties that the petitioner had to be there. And he suggested that perhaps the petitioner's father could testify on his behalf, but he did make it clear that the petitioner had to be there. The second thing point I would make is that even if his appearance was waived, which it clearly was not, no one showed up to present any evidence on the petitioner's behalf. That being the case, the provisions of Section 240B5 and the CFR kick in, and that says that if nobody shows up, the judge is limited to two inquiries. Is the petitioner removable? And did he have notice of the hearing? That being the case, we believe that the Board of Appeals judgment in this case was appropriate, and we ask that you affirm it.
Thank you, Mr. Leggins. Mr. Held?
The statute that the government just cited to refers to whether the alien is removable. That presumes that the alien is in the United States and can be physically removed. If the alien is no longer in the United States, the alien is not removable, and a judge has discretion and wide latitude to issue various orders. The BIA abused its discretion, violating the law, by refusing to acknowledge certain facts which were filed in a subsequent motion to terminate or dismiss the appeal, I should say, and also made its own factual determinations. So we would submit that the BIA cannot have its cake and eat it too, make certain factual determinations, such as what occurred in this case, and then state that the facts that we submitted, namely that the respondent appeared on the front page of the Chicago Tribune in Canada, cannot be considered. We think that the board could have taken administrative and judicial notice of these facts and entered a right decision, one that was made fairly by the immigration judge previously. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Held. Thank you, Mr. Leggins. And the case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.